Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, December 11th. Coming up today, there's been vandalism at council offices following a debate about asylum seekers. The Ashford MP puts pressure on resident doctors to call off their strike, and we'll hear from a Kent charity as they react to the government's new strategy to tackle homelessness. All that coming up in just a moment. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Thousands of drivers issued with fines for speeding on the Sheppey Crossing are calling for the penalties to be overturned. The limit on the A249 over the bridge is currently 50 miles per hour, while major roadworks take place at the nearby Grovehurst roundabout. The reduced speed limit was actually put in place in 2023, but has only just started to be enforced. Charmaine Redfern has set up a petition. She's been speaking to Lucy.
I feel like the restrictions that are now being enforced are being dealt with in an incorrect manner. So I want to appeal to KCC, to the National Highways, to Kent Police. I want to appeal that those that have received fines or are due to receive fines, that you know, they are squashed, because there wasn't appropriate signage in place. There was no given warning. There's a lot of other information. There is video footage up until today of last week showing that these signs were popped up overnight, the 50 miles per hour. A lot of them are popped up overnight. It was still displaying national speed limits. I can completely understand the frustration and the confusions for all motorists on this. I feel strongly that, you know, this is unfair treatment. And I really hope that me having a voice, not only for myself, but for everyone else that uses that area, I really hope that the officials can realise that something is not quite right here and something needs to be done, and it needs to be addressed as soon as possible.
So you haven't been fined yourself, you're just kind of speaking out for others.
Exactly so. You know, I know fines can take a little while. I'm not saying I'm speeding, I'm not saying anything like that, but I know fines can sometimes take a while, so I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of more people that are going to be receiving these in the post just before Christmas. And a lot of people using this crossing 5 days a week, that means their licence. For newer drivers who are only allowed up to 6 points on their licence, that's their licence. That's their job.
Kent Highways refutes Charmaine's claims that the signs have just popped up and say they've always been there. Now, Kent Police has revealed that enforcement only started this month due to work recently being carried out on speeding cameras. But they go on to say drivers should adhere to the signs and rules of the road or face the consequences. National Highways say the speed limit will be in place until the project has been completed.
Kent Online News.
A teenager who was fatally stabbed at a property in Chatham has been named for the first time. The death of Harley Perdue is now the subject of a murder investigation after he was found at a property in Thorold Road on December 2nd. An 18-year-old from London has been charged with murder and will appear in court next year. Police are searching for a suspect after a truck driver was assaulted inside a moving vehicle in Ashford. A man in a flatbed truck reportedly suffered facial injuries during the attack in the Church Road area of Willsborough on November 15th. Another man is believed to have got out and left the scene. Investigators want to speak to witnesses. A fire has broken out in a chimney at a pub on Tenterton High Street. Four fire engines and a height vehicle were sent to tackle the blaze yesterday evening. No one was hurt. Crews say it was caused by a build-up of soot in the chimney and are reminding people to get them swept thoroughly before lighting any fires this winter. The Kent family of a woman who died following a catastrophic stroke while living in France say they face a £10,000 bill to bring her body back to the county. 53-year-old Nicola Miles suffered a major bleed on the brain last Saturday and passed away the following day, surrounded by her family who'd travelled from Ashford. A fundraiser has been set up to support the family, who've thanked everyone for their donations and tributes. Now, police have been called to council offices in Sittingbourne after part of the building was vandalised following a debate about asylum seekers. It was supposed to be a peaceful protest over plans to make Swale a district of sanctuary for refugees. Our reporter Joe Crossley was there.
The Swale council offices in East Street in Sittingbourne were vandalised after the debate about making the borough a district of sanctuary for asylum seekers. During what has been labelled horrendous scenes, one of the men's toilets was damaged. The meeting had started peacefully, with at least 50 people squeezing into the chamber of the building. Many had turned out to hear the council's plans, which included signing up the authority to the nationwide City of Sanctuary scheme, which was suggested by Faversham councillor Hannah Perkin. If it had gone through, it would have meant extra support for refugees already placed in Swale. However, it is not known how much cash would have had to be spent on the scheme if it had been approved, as that wasn't in the motion. What it wouldn't have meant is the placement of extra asylum seekers into Swale, as that's a decision for government rather than any local authorities. However, I heard plenty of talk from people entering the building and also in the packed public gallery talking about extra asylum seekers being placed into Swale if this plan had gone through. That is definitely not the case and is misinformation. During the meeting, councillors were constantly subjected to what council leader Tim Gibson labelled a horrendous experience for his members. Not only were there a whole range of slurs used to attack the councillors, some of who were eventually going to vote against the decision, these also included homophobic phrases, that the disruption actually saw the meeting at one point paused and then restarted again once things had settled down. The abuse also included an egg being thrown at one of the councillors. There were calls throughout the meeting from the public gallery telling some of the more vociferous people to calm down and actually to be quiet while the councillors were speaking. I heard from members of the public, and this is paraphrasing, but they didn't want the behaviour of some of the people who were involved to tarnish what was, they feel, genuine concerns, and mostly a peaceful demonstration, although it was incredibly destructive. After what was something that I've never seen before in terms of the numbers of people turning up to a council meeting, but also the amount of abuse thrown at councillors, the council eventually voted it down, which led to huge cheers from the public gallery. There were chants of "Our Streets," and earlier there were also chants of "We Say No." All but a handful of people then left the chamber. It was then discovered, after most of the people had left, that damage had been caused to one of the men's bathrooms on the first floor. Vandalism included broken soap dispensers and blocked taps were left to run, causing part of the ground floor ceiling to actually collapse. Police officers were in the building following the vandalism and seemed to have been making inquiries. Officers were also preventing people gathered outside, some of who were children, maybe as young as 12, from a guess, returning into the building after that part of the meeting had finished. A loud siren was going off. It wasn't an emergency service vehicle, but there was also people with flags, and plenty of people with hoods up. So it was a really intimidating sight to see.
Let's hear now from Councillor Kieran Mischuck, Reform UK rep for Milton Regis at Swale Council.
The motion to make Swale a sanctuary for refugees and asylum seekers has fallen 21-8. Now, I'm very gutted I wasn't allowed to speak on this motion. I did put my hand up very, very early on, but I was pushed down by the mayor. But I'm glad that a lot of councillors voted against this motion because they understand that the people in Swale do not want to be undermined by this rhetoric. It's time that we, as a borough, came together and recognised the vulnerable people that we have here and how we can actually improve their quality of life and make everyone happier and safer.
Kent Online News.
Kent MP is calling for more data to be made available about people who come to live in the UK and the impact they have on society. Katie Lamb says there's currently no information about the exact number of people arriving in Britain and how many end up in work, prison or using NHS services. The Conservative rep for the Weald of Kent has spoken about it in the Commons.
How can we possibly have a well-informed conversation about illegal migration without a full understanding of the facts? Those of us who wish to end the era of mass migration are often the loudest voices in calling for more data. Yet those who believe that this period of mass migration has been a good thing for our country should be the biggest supporters of more comprehensive and accurate data on the impact of migration. We are often told, including in this House, that the British people have been misled or misinformed about the true impact of immigration on our country, that mass migration has in fact been better for this country than many believe. If that is the case, then let us see it in the data. If, as many members on the benches opposite and to my left may claim, the majority of migrants are in net fiscal positive, then let us see it in the data. If, in fact, migrants are no more likely to commit crime than British nationals, then let us see it in the data. Based on the indicative data that we do have, I believe this is exceedingly unlikely. But until we have access to the full facts, the conversation about migration in this place and across our country will necessarily fall short. There is no good reason to oppose a better informed national conversation around immigration. More data and evidence would allow us to make better decisions about who should be allowed to come to and stay in our country and in what numbers. It would allow us to truthfully assess the impact of different migrant groups, moving us on from generalisations about the whole of migration and towards a more productive conversation about the relative contributions of specific migrant groups by nationality and visa type. And most importantly of all, it would provide transparency for the British people and enable more detailed scrutiny of any government's policy on migration. In countries like Denmark, where migrant contribution data is published regularly, the government trusts its citizens to consider the data, consider their policies, and, in turn, to make up their own minds about whether or not they support the action being taken. After decades of broken promises, this is the very least the British people deserve: the right and ability to scrutinise in full the migration policy of their elected government. I sincerely hope that ministers in the Home Office and across government will recognise this and will work with the ONS to produce a more comprehensive and accurate data set in the years ahead.
Her motion to introduce a new bill has been approved. Now, it was a busy day for Kent MPs in the Commons yesterday. Next week's planned strike by resident doctors was also raised by a Kent MP. The medics that were previously known as junior doctors are due to walk out for 5 days from next Wednesday. However, the BMA has now said they're consulting with members on whether or not to call off the action. This was the exchange between Ashford's Sojourn Joseph and Sir Keir Starmer during yesterday's Prime Minister's questions.
I saw the consequences of Tory underinvestment in our health service. I welcome the progress under this Labour government: falling waiting lists, higher patient satisfaction with the general practice, and the rollout of neighbourhood health centres announced in the budget. I thank the frontline staff, including in mental health and community services, for all their hard work. And I am especially grateful to all the staff at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford who turned up to work during the last BMA-led resident doctor strike and ensured that so many planned appointments went ahead. With rising hospital admissions because of flu and increased demand on A&E services, does the Prime Minister agree that the BMA should call off their next planned strike and instead work with the government to find a solution?
Mr. Speaker is right. Waiting lists are falling with over 5 million extra appointments. More people are being seen within 18 weeks, and we've hired 2,600 new GPs. That's real progress thanks to the hard work of NHS staff, backed by our record investment. I do think the strikes are unjustified, and they threaten that hard-won progress, and the focus should always be on patients.
Kent Roads bosses have confirmed Operation Brock is being deployed in the run-up to Christmas. The contraflow on the M20 between junctions 8 and 9 will be activated next Tuesday. It'll be in place for a week, with the road operating as normal on December 23rd. Ticket holders to a drone light show in Kent have been left angry after it was rescheduled to a weekday with no refunds on offer. The Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer show at the Kent Showground in Detling was cancelled over the weekend because of bad weather. It took place yesterday. Those who couldn't attend have been able to move to a different event elsewhere. Organisers have apologised. Bosses at the Church of England are considering a complaint against the incoming Archbishop of Canterbury over her handling of an abuse allegation. It relates to a case in London in 2020. Church officials say Dame Sarah Mullally wasn't made aware of the issue because of an admin error.
Kent Online News.
A Kent charity has been responding to the government's new homelessness strategy. 3.5 £1.5 billion of investment has been announced to try and prevent rough sleeping and fund support services. Lucy's been chatting to Tom Newmark, who's the CEO of Canterbury-based Porchlight.
We're glad to see the government has published a strategy for ending homelessness, and I think the plan has some positive steps, although some missed opportunities. But the most important thing to say is we welcome the recognition that homelessness is an urgent challenge that needs addressing. The most recent government stats said that there were 263 people sleeping on the streets of Kent. That was a few months ago. That's probably a massive underestimate, to be honest. And as you'd expect, those people are our focus right now. We're working to help them find a safe home this Christmas. We're doing everything we can. We need the public's help with that, of course. Hopefully, these new government measures, when they come into play, they'll help ease the homelessness crisis that we're facing, not just in Kent, but across the country.
So what more do you think could be done, and how could the strategy be improved?
We welcome the focus on preventing people from sleeping rough in the first place. And we would like to see a greater emphasis put on timely mental health support for people. People feeling like they can't cope because of their mental health problems can be one of the main causes of people ending up sleeping rough. And it can be a really negative spiral where mental health problems and the experience of homelessness combine to make it much harder for people to find a safe home. And we think timely, early, preventative mental health support is one of the best ways of stopping people from experiencing homelessness in the first place.
And are you expecting to get a share of that £3.5 billion funding package?
We'll see how much Kent is allocated of this funding. We know that historically, sometimes rural homelessness has not been given the top priority that it really needs to be, that in large cities and urban centres, homelessness can be a lot more visible. So sometimes the resources get funneled into big cities. But we know that even though it's less visible, rural homelessness is a big challenge. And so we hope that Kent is allocated sufficient resources to mean that locally we see this strategy paying dividends.
A building in Thanet that's home to a popular theatre is set to go under the hammer at auction. Broadstairs Memorial Hall is being sold off by the County Council and has a guide price of £350,000. It's used by Sarah Thorne Theatre, which has a five-year lease, but supporters, including Dame Judy Dench, have raised concerns and want its long-term future secured. There are calls for repairs to be carried out on stairs at a railway station in Kent to prevent accidents in the future. Kent Online's been told issues with the steps at Staplehurst Station were first reported in February last year, but little has been done to fix them. Among those demanding action is Denise Greaves, who regularly uses this station and tripped on the overpass, leaving her with minor injuries. Southeastern admit the condition of the stairs is less than ideal and are looking to secure funding for more significant repairs. Bosses in Folkestone insist the redesign of part of the town centre will make the area safer following concerns a new road layout is dangerous. Some drivers say the changes to the Radnor Park roundabout next to the railway station are confusing following the introduction of a cycle lane and zebra crossing. The council say the project will regenerate the town. The works aren't due to finish until next summer.
Kent Online News.
Primark bosses have confirmed when their store in the Orchard Shopping Centre in Dartford will be closing. It's the retailer's first branch closure in more than a decade. It'll remain open for the run-up to Christmas. The last day of trading will be January 3rd. Aldi have revealed plans for a new store on the outskirts of Herne Bay. Bosses want to launch the new supermarket at Altira Park near Broomfield, next to the David Lloyd Leisure Club. A public consultation is underway. A hostel in Dover, which is Kent's lowest rated on TripAdvisor, has gone on the market. Alba House has a 2-star rating from the site. It's up for sale as the owners plan to retire. It's got a price tag of £800,000. Bosses in Kent have secured more than £6 million in funding to develop walking, cycling and wheeling schemes each year for the next 4 years. KCC will use the money to make active travel safer, easier and more attractive for everyone. Proposed schemes include new school safety zones and improved walking and cycling infrastructure. Now, it's reported Davina McCall has married her partner Michael Douglas in a secret ceremony. The TV presenter from Tunbridge Wells has been with the celebrity hairdresser since 2018. She's previously praised his support as she faced brain surgery and breast cancer. And a 17-year-old from Rochester has been chosen to be part of Simon Cowell's new boy band. Former choir singer John Faderay made his debut with the group on Tuesday night. The process of creating the band has been documented in a new Netflix series called The Next Act.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly, taking a look at cricket, and Cairns T20 Blast skipper Sam Billings has signed a new deal with the club. The wicketkeeper batsman was out of contract at the end of this year, but has signed an extension which keeps him with the Spitfires until the end of the 2027 season. He's just one match away from notching up 300 appearances for the county. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.